الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respect for bread. Supplication of Amir of Ahlus Sunnah. O Lord of Mustafa, whoever reads or listens to the 22-page booklet, Respect for Bread, grant him a comfortable livelihood, bestow blessings therein, and become pleased with him forever. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "The closest of people to me on the day of judgment will be the one who sent abundantly salat upon me." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, if there are different types of food on a single platter, for example, sweet rice, pilau rice and pickle, one is permitted to take from the other side of the platter. A platter of different dates. Sayyidina Ikrash radiyallahu anh has narrated, Thareed was once served to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We started eating with him. I was stretching my hand all over the plate. Seeing this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, O Ikrash radiyallahu anh, eat from one side, because there is only one type of food in this plate. Afterwards, we were served with a platter of different varieties of fresh dates. The hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stretched towards different varieties of dates. And he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, O Ikrash radiyallahu an, eat from wherever you wish, because these dates are of different varieties. Eating with five fingers, a practice of the uncivilized. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma has narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once indicated to his thumb and index finger and said, Do not eat with these two fingers, but eat with three fingers, i.e. the index finger, the middle finger and the thumb, as this is sunnah. Avoid eating with five fingers, as this is a practice of the uncivilized. Satan's manner of eating. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu anh has narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, eating with one finger is a practice of Satan. Eating with two fingers is a practice of the arrogant. And eating with three fingers is a practice of the Prophets alayhimus salam. However, the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would occasionally eat with four fingers as well. Method of eating with three fingers. Dear Islamic brothers, eating with three fingers means that small morsels will be eaten, which makes it easier for the food to be chewed. Well-chewed morsels mix properly with the digestive enzymes in saliva, helping their digestion. Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullahi alayhi has stated, eating with five fingers is a sign of the greedy. It is not difficult to eat bread with three fingers. You just have to pay a little attention and you will be able to do so easily. However, eating rice with three fingers may be somewhat difficult, but not for those who have a religious mindset and are devoted to the sunnah. Surely there is blessing in acting on every sunnah. One should avoid eating with five fingers out of greed for eating big morsels. In order to make a habit of eating with three fingers, one may bend the ring finger and the little one and wrap a rubber band around them during meal times. Alternatively, whilst eating, one may take a small piece of bread in the palm and hold it with the ring finger and the little one. If one is sincere, these tips will help in getting into the habit of eating with three fingers, inshallah. Once this becomes a routine, there will no longer be the need to use these techniques. If rice grains are well separated and it is impossible to eat rice with three fingers, one may use four or five fingers. However, make sure that neither the palm nor the base of the fingers is stained with food. Eating with a spoon. It is contrary to Sunnah to eat with a knife, fork, or spoon. Our pious predecessors, rahmahumullah, used to refrain from using a spoon because the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, would eat with three fingers. Sayyiduna Imam Ibrahim Bajuri, rahmatullahi alayhi, has narrated, once food was served to the Abbasid Caliph, Mamun al-Rashid, with a spoon. The Qazi al-Qudat, i.e. Chief Justice, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, said, Allah Almighty has stated in Surah Bani Israel, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Walaqad karramna bani Adam. Translation from Kanzul Iman, and we have indeed honored the descendants of Adam. O Caliph, in the commentary of this verse, your grandfather Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma has stated, we have made fingers for them with which they eat. Listening to this, Mamun al-Rashid refrained from using a spoon and ate with his fingers. When can one eat with a spoon? Dear Islamic brothers, if the food is watery, a spoon can be used. If it cannot be eaten using one's fingers, or if it cannot be drunk, for example, thin, watery foods like porridge and yogurt. Similarly, if one's hand is injured or is dirty and water is not available to wash it, there is no harm in eating with a spoon due to necessity. Furthermore, it is also permissible to use a knife to cut large pieces of food such as cooked meat. Appendixitis was cured. Dear Islamic brothers, in order to get used to acting upon the sunnahs of eating, accustom yourself to travelling with Madani qafilas. Alhamdulillah, by the blessing of Dawati Islami's Madani Qafila, many wicked individuals have changed by adopting a pious and righteous lifestyle. An Islamic brother from Mathura, India, was a follower of immoral fashions and would often watch movies. Fortunately, he once listened to a sunnah-inspiring speech with the title TV Ki Tabakariyam, released by Maktabatul Madina. The speech transformed his life, inspiring him to join the Madani environment of Dawati Islami. Once he suffered from appendixitis and the doctors advised him to have an operation for its treatment. He was terrified. Meanwhile, as a result of the individual effort of a preacher of Dawati Islami, he travelled with a 3-day sunnah-inspiring Madani qafila for the first time in his life along with the Prophet's devotees. Alhamdulillah, by the blessings of the Madani qafila, his disease was cured without any operation. Alhamdulillah, highly inspired by this, he now travels with a 3-day Madani qafila every month. He also hands in his pious deeds booklet every month and wakes up Muslims for Fajr Salah every morning, acting upon the pious deed of Sadae Madina. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Surgery whilst conscious. Dear Islamic brothers, did you see the blessings of travelling with the Madani Qafila? Remember that sickness or trouble usually brings about mercy for a Muslim. You have just heard that the Islamic brother who had appendicitis was cured by the blessing of travelling with a Madani qafila. And impressed by this amazing blessing, he joined the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Furthermore, the fact that he became steadfast in the religious environment is indeed another great blessing for him. If you ever face problems, endure them with patience and earn great reward. Out of enthusiasm to reap reward, the way our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, would manifest patience when facing troubles is indeed exceptional and highly inspiring. Here is an account illustrating the spirit of our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah. The commentator of Sahih al-Bukhari, Allama Maulana Mufti Sharif al-Haq Amjadi rahmatullahi alayh, has narrated the following account in Nuzha al-Qari, Sharh Sahih al-Bukhari, Volume 2, pages 213 to 215. Sayyidina Urwa radiyallahu an was the son of the famous Ansari companion, Sayyidina Zubair bin Awwam radiyallahu an, and Sayyidatuna Asma bint Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhuma. He was the nephew of Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha, and the brother of Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu anhuma. He was also one of the seven renowned jurists of Medina al-Munawwara, and a pious, upright and righteous saint who used to worship devotedly, especially at nights. He would read a quarter of the Holy Quran every day and would recite a quarter every night in Tahajjud. The Caliph Walid bin Abdul Malik used to say that if anyone wished to see a heaven dweller, they should look at Sayyiduna Urwa radiyallahu anhu. Once he travelled to meet Walid bin Abdul Malik. During this journey, he suffered from a severe infection that caused his foot to decompose. Walid advised him to undergo surgery on his foot, but he declined. The disease spread to his shin. Walid, out of concern, told Sayyiduna Urwa radiyallahu an, "Noble sir, it is now necessary that your leg be amputated, otherwise the disease will spread to your entire body." Sayyiduna Urwa radiyallahu an finally agreed. The surgeon arrived and said, "Drink some alcohol so that you will not feel any pain during the amputation." He radiyallahu an replied, "I do not want relief by the thing declared haram by Allah Almighty." The surgeon then said, "If you permit, I will give you some medicine that will put you to sleep." He radiyallahu anhu replied, "I wish to experience the pain whilst my leg is being amputated so that I will not be deprived of the opportunity of showing patience and gaining reward." He radiyallahu anhu was then asked, "Grant permission for a few individuals to hold you down." But he radiyallahu anhu replied, "There is no need for this either." Therefore, the flesh of his foot was first cut with a knife, and then his bone was cut with a saw. Amazingly, he did not utter even a single word of complaint. All the while, he continued to do the dhikr of Allah's blessed names. When the open wound was cauterized with heated iron and olive oil, he fainted due to extreme pain. After he regained consciousness, he wiped the perspiration from his face. Then, picking up the severed leg, turning it over and looking at it, he said, "By Allah Almighty, who had enabled me to walk by you, I never used you to walk towards any sin." Despite being present in the same hall, the Caliph, who was busy in conversation, remained unaware that the surgery was still taking place. He only became aware of it when the smell from the cauterization spread after the surgery. Martyrdom of a son. Another test for Sayyiduna Urwa radiallahu anh on this journey was that his beloved son, Sayyiduna Muhammad bin Urwa radiallahu anhuma, was martyred by some animal of the royal stable of the caliph. When he turned to Medina al-Munawwara, he recited the following part of the 62nd verse of Surah al-Kahf. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد لقينا من سفرنا هذا نصبا. Translation from Kanzul Iman. We have indeed faced great hardship in this journey of ours. Generosity of Sayyiduna Urwa radiallahu anh. Sayyiduna Urwa radiallahu anh was very generous. When fruit picking season arrived, he would make an opening in the perimeter wall of his orchard, allowing people to eat and take fruits with them. Whenever he went to his orchard, he would recite the following part of the 39th verse of Surah Al-Kahf. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And why was it not so that when you entered your garden, you could have said, whatever Allah wills, we do not have any strength except by the help of Allah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد. To eat whilst resting against a support is not sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has stated, I do not eat whilst resting against a support. Do not eat whilst resting against a support. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu has narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam stated, you should not eat whilst resting against a support. Four postures of resting against a support. There are four postures for sitting whilst resting against a support. Number one, to sit leaning to the right or left, i.e. leaning down towards the right or left. Number two, to sit cross-legged. Number three, to sit on the floor by supporting yourself with one hand resting on the ground. Number four, to sit resting one's back against a support like a wall or a chair, etc. It is not appropriate to sit in these postures when eating. A good sitting posture to have when eating is to sit either with the legs folded, as done when sitting in Salah, or with both knees raised upwards. These two postures are also medically beneficial to the body. It is inappropriate to eat whilst standing. Treat bread with respect. It is sunnah to pick up and eat a piece of bread that has fallen on the ground. Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha has narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam once entered his home and saw a piece of bread on the floor. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam picked it up, wiped it and ate it. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam then said, O Aisha radiallahu anha, respect that which is precious, because when this, i.e. the bread, departs from a nation, it has never returned. Repent from wasting food. Dear Islamic brothers, today, virtually everyone seems to be complaining of deprivation and lack of blessing in sustenance. Perhaps disrespecting and wasting food may be a cause of this. Today, you will hardly find a Muslim who does not waste food. Everywhere,
Whether it is a wedding feast or a niyaz meal of a saint, you will see people waste food. Regretfully, a lot of food is also carelessly dropped on the dining mat during meals. After the food has been consumed, remnants of food and meat still remain on the bones and spices, which are then carelessly thrown away. After eating once, most people do not even think of reusing the food left in plates, bowls and pots, and it eventually ends up in the garbage. Dear Islamic brothers, one should repent of israf, a wastage done till now, and make a firm intention never to waste even a single speck of food or a single drop of soup. By Allah Almighty, on the day of judgment, one will surely be held accountable for every speck of food wasted in the world. Without doubt, no one has the power to bear accountability on the day of judgment. Repent sincerely, recite salat and plead. O Allah Almighty, I repent of israf which I have committed till today, and all my minor and major sins. With your bestowal and help, I will strive to refrain from all sins in the future. O Allah Almighty, forgive me without holding me accountable. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse 31, Allah Almighty says, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. Innahu la yuhibbul musrifin. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And eat and drink and do not cross the limit. Indeed, he does not like those who cross the limit, i.e. the extravagant. What does Israf mean? The renowned commentator of the Quran, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh, has stated on page 390 of the 8th volume of Tafsir al-Na'imi that there are several explanations of Israf, i.e. wastage, some of which include: number 1. To consider halal things as haram. Number 2. To use haram things. Number 3. To eat, drink, or wear more than one's requirement. Number 4. To eat, drink, and wear whatever one desires. Number 5. To eat and drink repeatedly during the day and night, engendering illness and damaging the stomach. Number 6. To eat and drink things harmful to the body. Number 7. To keep obsessing about clothes and food, thinking about what one will wear or eat next. Number 8. Eat to be heedless. Number 9. To eat with the intention of committing sins. Number 10. To accustom oneself to high quality foods and fancy clothing to such an extent that one is not able to eat or drink ordinary simple things. Number 11. To assume that one has attained high quality food by his personal accomplishments only. In short, the word Israf encompasses numerous rulings. The second caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anh, has stated, one should avoid overfilling oneself as it causes illness, damages the stomach, and engenders indolence in salah. Adopt moderation in eating and drinking, as this is a cure for numerous diseases. Allah Almighty dislikes the obese person. It is also stated that the one letting his desire dominate his religion will face ruin. Excellence of being slim. Dear Islamic brothers, in addition to eating less reduce the intake of superfine flour, sugar, and fatty foods as per the advice of your doctor. This improves the digestive system, decreasing body weight. By virtue of this, a bulging belly returns to its normal state and one's appearance is enhanced. Allah Almighty likes a slim Muslim who eats less. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma has narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, "The dearest to Allah Almighty amongst you is the one who eats less and has a lean body." Dear Islamic brothers, in order to maintain the spirit to perform righteous deeds, it is imperative that one joins a righteous religious environment with heart and soul. Although one may attain the spirit to perform righteous deeds even without a religious environment, it is extremely difficult to attain steadfastness due to the lack of pious company. One should therefore make a habit of travelling with Madni Qafilas along with the Prophet's devotees. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami is propagating the message of Sunnah throughout the world. Here is a faith-enhancing and inspirational account. A non-Muslim embraces Islam. An Islamic brother from Tehsil Tanda, District Ambedkar Nagar, UP, India, has stated that he was previously a non-Muslim. Once, someone gifted him Maktabatul Madina's booklet entitled The Respect of a Muslim. Amazed by the booklet, he realized that Islam, which he formerly always had hated, forgives the message of peace and harmony. The words of the booklet captured his heart, making him develop a great liking for Islam. One day, whilst he was travelling in a bus, a group of bearded Islamic brothers wearing imamas boarded the same bus. He understood that they were Muslims, as he had already developed a liking for Islam. He began to look at them with admiration. One of the Islamic brothers from amongst them began reciting Naat, something which the non-Muslim found appealing. Noticing his interest, an Islamic brother approached him and started conversing with him. The Islamic brother discovered that the person was a non-Muslim. Smiling, he advised him in a very cautious manner to embrace Islam by saying, "I encourage you to embrace Islam." Since he had already been impressed by Islam as a result of reading the booklet, The Respect of a Muslim, the humble words of the brother further motivated him and he embraced Islam. Alhamdulillah, at the time of the writing of this account, 4 months have passed since he embraced Islam. He has started offering salah regularly and has also made the intention of growing a beard. Furthermore, he has joined the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami and travels with the Madani Qafilas. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sunnah is not abandoned out of shyness. The beloved companions radiyallahu anhum were indeed the true devotees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Nothing could prevent them from practicing sunnah, not the lure of transient worldly things nor regard for anyone. Sayyiduna Hassan Basri radiyallahu an has narrated that Sayyiduna Maqil bin Yassar radiyallahu an, who was the chief of the Muslims of that area, was once eating food when a morsel from his hand fell on the ground. He picked it up, cleaned it, and then ate it. Seeing this, some uncivilized people who were present there gave him a contemptuous look. Someone said to him, "May Allah Almighty bless our chief." O our leader, these uncivilized people are looking at you scornfully because you have eaten a morsel from the floor despite having other food in front of you. Listening to this, he replied, I cannot give up what I have learnt from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam merely because of these ajamis, i.e. non-Arabs. If a morsel of food ever fell down, we would ask each other to pick it up, clean it and eat it, and not leave it for Satan to consume. Make individual effort. Dear Islamic brothers, did you see how much love Sayyiduna Maqil bin Yassar radiallahu an, an eminent companion, had for the Sunnah? Paying no heed to the behavior of the Ajamis, he continued to act upon the Sunnah unflinchingly. Unfortunately, these days some unwise Muslims do not grow their beard, assuming this decision of theirs to be a wise act based on modern times. In reality, true wisdom is to grow a beard, dress according to the Sunnah, wear an imamah, and carry out one's daily acts according to the Sunnah. True wisdom is to do these things regardless of how unfavorable the environment is and how severe the opposition of the non-Muslims and people of innovation is. Furthermore, one should also strive to call people towards righteousness. Insha'Allah, our mutual efforts will produce fruitful results. The truth will prevail. Satan will be disgraced, and the message of Sunnah will spread everywhere. Those who love the transient things of this worldly life will become sincere devotees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the nur of the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will enlighten every household. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Here is an incident showing the blessing of making individual effort. A non-Muslim embraces Islam. A 92-day Madani Qafila reached Colombo from the global Madani Markaz of Dawat-e-Islami, Fizan-e Madina, Babul Madina, Karachi, Pakistan. On the day when the Madani Qafila was to leave for the district of Aero for 30 days, an Islamic brother brought a young non-Muslim to the leader of the Qafila, describing some aspects of the great character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The leader of the Madani Qafila invited the young man to embrace Islam. The young man asked some questions, which were answered, and by virtue of approximately 1 hour of individual effort, alhamdulillah, he embraced Islam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Protection of offspring from feeble-mindedness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, the one who picks up bits of food that have fallen on the dining mat and eats them will live a life of affluence, and his offspring and the offspring of his offspring will be protected from feeble-mindedness. A remedy for destitution. An eminent scholar of hadith, Sayyiduna Hudba bin Khalid rahmatullahi alayh, was once invited by the Caliph of Baghdad, Mamun al-Rashid. After eating, the great scholar began to pick up and eat the bits of food that had fallen. Astonished, the Caliph asked, O Shaykh, are you not full yet? He, rahmatullahi alayhi, replied, I certainly am full, but I have heard a hadith from Sayyiduna Hammad bin Salama radiyallahu an, whoever picks up and eats fallen grains of food from the dining mat will be free from the fear of poverty. I am merrily acting upon this hadith. Highly impressed, the caliph gestured to a servant who brought 1,000 dinars, i.e. gold coins, wrapped up in a handkerchief, and gave it to Sayyiduna Hudba bin Khalid rahmatullahi alayhi as a gift. The eminent scholar said, Alhamdulillah, the blessing of acting upon the hadith has manifested immediately. Do not forego any sunnah due to shyness. Dear Islamic brothers, it is evident from the above mentioned parable that our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, would never forego a sunnah under any circumstance. They had no hesitation in acting upon the sunnah in the presence of the rich or a king. This parable contains ample lesson for those Islamic brothers who, due to being shy of people, forego the sunnahs of eating and drinking or that of wearing an imamah and keeping a beard. Undoubtedly, acting upon the sunnah will lead to success in the world as well as in the hereafter. At times, the blessings of acting upon sunnah take place instantly in the world. As described in the parable where Sayyiduna Hudba bin Khalid rahmatullahi alayhi immediately received 1,000 dinars and became affluent. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.